RadioInfluence.com.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. And we're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Sign up for our newsletter. Subscribe to the podcast, all at CrushPerformance.com. But if you have a question, comment, or smart remark, write to us. Info at CrushPerformance.com is the email. We answer every single message we get. And if you have a topic or an idea you would like us to investigate, or even somebody you'd like us to interview for the show, let us know. We'll work on it. We may dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea, so get to us for sure. On the social media platforms, on Twitter at Jeff Crush, on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, just search out Crush Performance, and we're just keeping you connected with the very latest in the world of human performance. Today, the Crush War on Sugar rages on. It will be our final War on Sugar episode of 2018, and it's been a fantastic year for the War on Sugar. A lot of groundbreaking research, a lot of great new information, and a ton of great guests. Today, though, I wanted to take a different twist. You know, in the past, we've always looked at the breaking research, the cutting edge science, and trying to get a better understanding of how sugar and our diets are impacting not just our health, but our performance. And we're losing this battle probably on every single front, except for maybe the sport performance side. For our high-performance athletes who are very well taken care of and dedicated, we're really using biochemistry and nutrition to push performance to new levels. There's no doubt about it. But in the big picture, oh man, we are up against it, and in a big, big way, especially when it comes to our children. And that's what the War on Sugar is all about. It's about raising awareness, sharing ideas, and getting everybody thinking about what you can do to help not just yourself live healthier and better, but also the people around you. And while we seem to be focused on the issues, the science, and identifying the problems, it's also very, very important to talk about options and choices out there, things that we can do to put us onto the right path. And that's exactly what I want to do today. We're going to talk to Alan Frost, who is the CEO and founder of a very unique company called Flava Naturals. You may have heard of them. They were just at the New York Marathon, but they've given us a very interesting twist on chocolate, low sugar, delicious chocolate bars, and a chocolate powder that is incredibly powerful for a number of reasons. We're going to talk to Alan about how the company started, where it came from, what exactly does the science look like, and how can it benefit people in terms of making healthier choices for their lifestyle. And then later in the show, I want to get into some of the food choices you can make and some of the things that we do with our athletes to help them perform at a top level on a daily basis. And trust me, the whole idea behind this is making it simple for people, our athletes included. And that means breaking it down into bite-sized pieces that they can manage and handle on a day-to-day basis. So one of the concepts we talk to our athletes about, for example, is making daily choices. Our athletes never make more than a 24-hour mistake because we've designed their entire lives around their nutrition. And if there's a bad flight or a meeting went long or they miss a practice or something happens in life that they miss a feeding or they miss a certain nutrient over the course of the day, we just fix it the next day. Listen, this is a long game. Take away the stress and manage yourself on a long-term basis. If we're a little bit better every single day, over the course of time, that makes a big, big difference. And I think that's what a lot of people fail to understand, is it's going to be the little things that count. And that's why the majority of diets fail. As a matter of fact, you know, if we go back to one of our early conversations on the Crush War on Sugar with Dr. Yanni Friedhoff, his book, The Diet Fix, there was some really, really interesting data in there. And one of the big points that we took out of that conversation and that great book is the fact that about 90% of all diets fail. And for good reason. They're not realistic. They're really not. If we look at what we need to do to modify our weight for general health or eat for performance, we have to make sure that we structure our diet and our nutrition accordingly. And we know to modify weight for weight loss or maintaining muscle mass, about 80% of modifiable weight is going to be controlled through diet. Only about 20% can be controlled through exercise. Exercise is a very, very inefficient way to go about managing your weight. It's incredibly important for overall health. Don't get me wrong. It is a priority for overall health. But in terms of managing your weight, you're going to have the biggest bang for your efforts by monitoring and controlling your diet on a daily basis, and it's not that hard to do. So let's cut out for a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a fantastic option. If you like chocolate, or if you use chocolate on a daily basis or a weekly basis, we're going to talk about some of the benefits of this new twist on an age-old favorite, chocolate, with Alan Frost of Flavor Naturals right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around, everybody.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com. And remember, the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us with any questions, comments, or smart remarks, or if you have a topic you'd like us to look into or investigate, let us know. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info@CrushPerformance is the email. We may dedicate a segment or even an entire episode to your idea. We answer every single message we get, and we love them all. And sometimes when we get enough of one question or we're intrigued by a topic, we've dedicated segments, even entire episodes to your idea. So please let us know, and we will get back to you for sure. On social media, please follow us at Jeff Crush on Twitter and on Facebook, Instagram, and check out our YouTube channel. It is Crush Performance. Today, an episode of the Crush War on Sugar, which is simply our platform for raising awareness in terms of diet, nutrition, and certainly the amount of sugar we're eating, which has sort of been a sweet spot. Pun totally intended. But the sugar consumption has become a sweet spot for us and a major focal point in terms of just helping people make better decisions on a daily basis. Certainly for our athletic performance and all the athletes we work with, the coaches and the parents around those athletes. But for life in general, we know that our sugar consumption is one of the major issues when it comes to the health and wellness of our population right now, and some of the big, big hurdles we're now facing and will be facing moving forward unless we curb it, especially when it comes to targeting children. It's not just the fast food and the convenience of processed foods, but it's the cereal aisles, it's the drink aisles, it's everywhere we look, all of the holidays. The amount of sugar we're consuming is not only impacting our adult health, but it's absolutely devastating to not just our young people, but the future of our young people. And that's something that we take very, very seriously here. Hence, each month we dedicate an episode of Crush Performance to our war on sugar. And today is that day. And I think we've done a pretty good job up to this point, collectively as a whole, not just on Crush Performance, but in terms of the publications, the science that's out there, the research that's currently going on right now. We've done a really good job in getting our heads around the issue and the problem around sugar consumption, nutrition, calories, obesity, diabetes, other health issues, long-term health issues, serious health issues, the impact of exercise and diet, why diets don't work. We've covered all this very, very well, and I think our knowledge base is there, but yet we still have a terrible, terrible trend when it comes to our health and wellness. And I think one thing we need to focus maybe a little bit more on are the solutions. What can we do to steer ourselves in the right direction? And I'm not talking about making drastic changes. I'm talking about making smart choices every single day. And I think it's going to be those little choices that we continue to make every single day that's going to have the biggest impact on our health and wellness moving forward. It might be something as simple as optioning for a glass of water rather than a juice. It might be a couple of handfuls of trail mix rather than three or four cookies. Though we always say you can't be afraid of a cookie. Moderation, my friends, moderation. But it's going to be those small choices that make a big difference. And there are options out there if you dig down deep. And right now I want to share with you one of the options that we've discovered is actually brought to our attention by one of our athletes. We were asked to investigate this. So we looked into it and it turned out to be really, really good. We talked with the owners and it turned out to be even better than good. And we think this is a great, great option for everybody out there who likes their chocolate but are still very conscious of the sugar. We're joined now by Alan Frost, the CEO and founder of Flava Naturals. Alan, thanks for joining the show today.
Jeff, my pleasure. It's great to be here today.
Well, you know, on the war on sugar, it's been going for a couple of years, and for people who are familiar with it, they know why it's happening. If you're new to the war on sugar, you'll know that it's been spearheaded or driven by my experiences with my mom, who had early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, and also my run-in with two young hockey players at a convenience store one day who were just buying the most inappropriate products for young hockey players that had just set me off. And the war on sugar has been, I guess, really dedicated to raising the awareness of the downside of not just sugar, but the food we eat, but most certainly the sugar and the hidden sugars in our diet. And Alan, it's really exciting to talk to you about some of the weapons we might now be able to provide to all of our good people out there in our war on sugar. To get the conversation going, how about we start here? Because I think the story behind the company and your story leading up to making this happen is really interesting. How did it all start?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. So it actually started about almost 5 years ago. My background was more in the biotech industry, and my company had been purchased. And I'm 53 now. My company had been purchased, and it was a time to reflect and think about what I wanted to do next in life. I decided I wanted to do something more entrepreneurial. I was investigating a few different things when one day my wife came in the family room with the New York Times in hand, you know, threw it in my lap and said, I told you I should be eating more chocolate. So, as you can imagine, and as a biotech guy, I was a little skeptical. And I started reading this article, and it was fascinating because the headline was "Chocolate Improves Memory," and it was about a study that was done at a Columbia University, and by very smart people. They knew exactly what they were doing, and these people were drinking this cocoa drink for about 3 months, and they were studying 50 to 60 year olds. And after 3 months, they found that the speed to memory recall of this group had improved from, their age range, which was 50 to 60, by approximately 2 to 3 decades. So from the time we're 30, our speed to memory recall, how quickly we remember names, where to leave my car keys, and that sort of thing, starts to decline. Mm-hmm. And this was fascinating. So this brought this group back to, they were looking like 30 to 40-year-olds at, when we're talking about speed to memory recall. So that was sort of my intro. I began doing some research. I was intrigued. The catch in that study was that they weren't eating chocolate bars. They were drinking this cocoa drink that had as many cocoa flavanol antioxidants as about 10 typical dark chocolate bars. So I started doing some reading. It turns out that the benefits of cocoa flavanol antioxidants really start with improved circulation, and by a very significant amount. And this improved circulation leads to improvements that we've all read about, you know, about with cognition, with mood, with cardiovascular factors. They tend to lower blood pressure a little bit, lower LDL. And there's actually a positive impact on cocoa flavanols on blood sugar as well. So it was pretty fascinating. I started to do this research. I got intrigued, and I got this idea for the business. I said, "Well, you know, there's nothing else on the market like this. Can we introduce a natural product? Because I wasn't interested in doing another pharmaceutical. Can we introduce a natural product that has the cocoa flavanol levels that's been used in some of these studies?" And, fortunately, you know, after it took a few years to pull together, but we were able to develop a delicious high flavanol dark chocolate and an unsweetened cocoa powder that that has the levels that's been used in some of these studies.
Great story, Alan Frost. Alan Frost is the founder and CEO of Flavonaturals, an exciting company that is providing us with tools that really, really run in sync, Alan, with our war on sugar for sure. We came across the Flavanol bars, the Flava bars, and Flava Mix through your company. And I grew up and just so many close ties you and I have, mister. I'll tell you right now. So three daughters and a wife in my house. And let me tell you, chocolate has saved my life, I swear to you, probably more than once. I never restrict chocolate consumption in my house because I tell you, when mama wants chocolate, she better get chocolate or I sleep with one eye open. There's no doubt about it. But, hey, you know what? This is one of this is a really important conversation because, when we look at the benefits that are not only associated with the cocoa flavanols, but also we double that with the reduction of sugar. And that's one of the things I'm really, really happy you guys are conscious about and really glad to have you on today because you're very sensitive to the sugar levels. It's a much, much better product with the benefits, all these incredible brand benefits for brain, heart, skin, and circulation that we get with the flavanols. A really double whammy right there.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny, Jeff, and I imagine some of the listeners were kind of curious why, you'd be talking to somebody that's starting a chocolate company. When we're talking about sugars. As we've discussed, we really think about our chocolate as a better for you chocolate, right? Because we all eat chocolate. Chocolate's not going away real soon, and people are going to snack. And when they snack, we want them to have a better for you snack. So our bars do have cane sugar in them, but it's about 12 grams. It varies a little bit by bar, but there are tremendous health benefits of cocoa flavanols that go along with it, and obviously. There's the taste benefit, and most of us snack, right? We're all mm-hmm. human. And then for people that absolutely don't want any sugar or are looking for something that they can do, on a daily basis, and looking for that health benefit, they can certainly reach for the Flava Mix, which is unsweetened. It needs some form of sweetener, but it could be a natural sweetener. I throw it in a smoothie with a banana and peanut butter, and I don't feel a need to add any additional sugar to that, and it's fantastic. But so sorry for that long-winded answer.
Yeah, no, and that's a great answer for sure, and it gives people some ideas of how versatile these products are. And there's no question, we're really happy to talk about this today because we're using it. My family's using it, three daughters and my wife, and it's such a great option for them. They love the flavor, and as you mentioned, we're using the Flava Mix in my wife's using it in our coffee. We're using it in our smoothies. The girls are making recipes with it. So it's very versatile. But getting back to the science, I think this is really exciting. And again, one of the driving factors here, Alan, is my mom and her early onset of dementia and Alzheimer's. The data that we now have and the information we have coming out of the medical arena and the research from Mayo Clinic and Yale and Harvard and National Institutes of Health, they're now calling dementia and Alzheimer's, type 3 diabetes, diabetes of the brain, long exposure to high glycemic sugar diets are really, really damaging to the brain. So when we talk about the flavanols, and maybe just to explain what this actually is for our audience who might not be familiar with this, this is an incredible compound. It's not new. I think, you know, when you go onto the website, your website, you guys explain it really well, flavanaturals.com. You go back to the Mayans. They understood the importance of the cocoa bean, and they thought it was a gift from the gods, most certainly. But when we talk about the brain function, the heart, the skin, the circulation, for our listeners, Alan, maybe let's just talk about the flavanols, what they are, and how you guys have figured out how to harness them and put them into a product that's really helping people out.
Yeah, they're very important, and it's a fascinating topic. I mean, what cocoa flavanols do, they're antioxidants, but they're actually weak antioxidants in terms of what, you know, antioxidants are thought to do in terms of controlling free radicals, et cetera. What flavanols do that are different than most antioxidants is they increase the bioavailability of nitric oxide in your system, in your blood, which improves endothelial function. And that's where all the benefits stem from. So to this improved endothelial function, if you one way to think about it is relaxed blood vessels and arteries. So they're more relaxed, they're more pliable, more blood can flow through them when you need it. So our blood vessels typically, like one way that this is measured is they call it flow mediated artery dilation. It's basically how much can your vessels and your arteries expand when they need them. And a typical adult, it's not that much. It's about 5 or 6%. Well, about 2 hours after taking 900 milligrams of cocoa flavanols, that 5.5% jumps to about 7.5%, mm-hmm. which is a very significant increase. Again, that's where all these benefits are stemming from. You know, the cognitive benefits, the cardiovascular benefits, and there's even some early studies that are looking at exercise performance, because again, you know, if you can get more oxygen and nutrients to the muscles that need them during exercise, theoretically, you're going to see, you know, improved exercise performance, you know, as well as the cognitive piece.
We're talking with Alan Frost, the founder and CEO of Flavanaturals. There's no question. We have been studying the impact and the implications of nitric oxide and even certain forms of supplementation and sport performance for years, Alan. And there is a direct link. There's no question about it. I think the big question is, how do you make it happen in the most ethical and performance enhancing way? Because a lot of the products out there that look at nitric oxide, they're laced with pounds of sugar, unfortunately. And so though you might get the nitric oxide benefits, you have the downside of all the sweeteners and everything. So to find a balance in a weapon like this is truly important. You know, for my family, for using them as an example, because, you know, family and friends are important to everybody out there. You talked about the mental side and the brain side. Psychologically, you know, the benefits of chocolate are well documented. We talk about serotonin and dopamine and just mood swings and changes. It's a helpful tool for a lot of people. The downside is all the sugar. So there's the implications there. And, you know, for our athletes, what a potential weapon this could be, just for recovery, regeneration, but also performance. So there's a multitude of platforms that this is potentially useful for our audience who are listening today. A real interesting development in the world in the fight for our crush war on sugar.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Jeff. And the when we started this, one of our you could take nitric oxide supplements, but there's been a lot of issues, not to go into that into any detail today, but surrounding their usage. But this is a natural nitric oxide supplement. So it's basically flavanols help your body produce the correct amount of nitric oxide. And that was, from day one, when we were, thinking about this as a potential business, we said it's got to be natural. And, after doing a lot of research and partnering with some companies that had done some work in this this area for some time, and partnering with some farms that have been cultivating a high flavanol crop for years, we were able to develop this product. And the trick is really twofold to get a high flavanol chocolate. And that's first, you need to start with a bean that has a very high amount of cocoa flavanol antioxidants. Well, most people don't know, and I certainly didn't know until I got into this, is that cocoa beans can vary tenfold in their antioxidant level. It depends on the strain of bean. It depends on the soil. It depends on the farming techniques. It depends on the climate. It's sort of like wine in that regard. If the crop gets too much rain, for example, it's hypothesized that the flavanol levels will actually suffer during that season. So the trick of developing a high flavanol in chocolate and one that has, on average about five times the flavanols of a typical dark chocolate was to start with the right bean and then to process it naturally and at lower temperatures. So a lot of chocolate and cocoa powders are alkalized, which is a chemical process. And that tends to kill many of the flavanols. Flavanols are antioxidants, and so they're also susceptible to heat damage. So we actually have to roast our beans at a lower temperature for a longer period of time. And then we also condense the fermentation process a bit because that's another, heat generating activity. And by doing these two things, we were able to develop, a chocolate that has about 500 milligrams of cocoa flavanols per serving. And, that's compared to about 100 milligrams in a typical dark chocolate bar. And our Flava mix, which is the cocoa powder, actually has 900 milligrams of cocoa flavanol, so equal to about nine times, a typical dark chocolate bar. And both these, like if you look at, and I know you've looked at some of the studies, a lot of the studies that are showing the significant benefit on cardiovascular and brain function markers are in that range of 500 to 1,000 milligrams. So that was, our goal was to do it naturally and in a way that really tasted great, because at the end of the day, if it doesn't taste great, people aren't going to consume it.
There's no question about that. And the fact that it's done all naturally, I think, is one of the things that intrigued us and my athletes. So good for you guys. Great, great conversation here so far, everybody. As we talk about solutions, what can we do to help ourselves be healthier, and what kind of choices can we make to make a difference every single day? We have to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish our discussion with Alan Frost of Flava Naturals, and we're going to talk about performance eating right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around, everybody.
Hi, this is David Penzer, former TNA and WCW ring announcer, inviting you to join me on my podcast, Sitting Ringside. We're going to talk to the stars of professional wrestling today and yesteryear. Also, talk to those behind the scenes that have some awesome stories to tell. You're not going to want to miss it. City Ringside with me, David Penzer, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Crush War on Sugar, everybody. Jeff Kershaw here, the con man behind the glass. We're your weekly source for performance information. Today, we are talking War on Sugar. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info at CrushPerformance is the email. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and check out our YouTube channel. We got a lot of great animations and videos there, and we're going to be building that library in 2019. You can search Crush Performance. Well, today we're talking to the founder of Flava Naturals, a unique new take on the chocolate industry, one that really fits in with our platform of the Crush War on Sugar. Alan, thanks for staying on over the break, and you just made the comment that it has to taste good. In order for it to work in the real world, it has to taste good. We know why diets fail. They fail because they're not realistic. We can't cut everything out of the diet. There's a very special person out there and a special group of people that can go extreme and get really, really good results. But is it sustainable? It has to be something that works in the everyday life of the average person. And for our elite athletes, it has to work in their decision making as well. And it has to taste good if it's going to be effective over the long haul. And, you know, I could tell you right now from our experiences with my girls using it, they really like the flavor. They're using it in their drinks. They're using it in their recipes. They're using it, you know, to make their smoothies. And for the chocolate bars, they like the fact that they taste great, but there's less sugar. Great option for my family and certainly a great option for my athletes. And, you know, you talk about the memory side and there's so many implications here on the athletic side, which I want to talk to you in a moment. But here's one thing I can tell you, mister. Since I've been using it, you mentioned forgetting your keys. I have, now that I think about it, you know, in this conversation, I haven't forgotten where my keys are in quite some time. I'm not saying there's a link there, but I'm thinking those are two dots that aren't too hard to connect for sure. So man, I'm recovering. Hey, my short-term memory is coming back to me, man. I love it. This is fantastic. So that's
I think if we could do a study on that, Jeff, and improve that case, I think we're gonna, you know, we'll be bigger than Hershey's in about a year.
No kidding. Hey, I'm all in on that one, man. I'm a test subject there for sure, no question. So sign me up for sure. You guys are making your way into the world of sport, which I think, you know, coming from my background, is really, really exciting. And one of the reasons I'm so excited to talk to you guys, Alan, because there's really some serious implications here in the sporting world. People have to understand, yes, there's no question about it. In order to be an elite athlete, you have to do special things, and often it's hard. Diet, sleep, rest, recovery, it's a very, very difficult life, and that's why so few people actually aspire to the highest levels. But even for the weekend warriors and the recreational athletes, there's huge implications here, not to mention for the elite athlete. The elite athletes, Alan, they're just people like you and me. They just have to maybe do things a little bit differently. But chocolate, maybe having a beer, a glass of wine once in a while, that's all just part of life, and this just makes it a lot easier. In the athlete world, you guys have made some interesting contacts lately. Maybe we could talk about that really quickly here.
Yeah, that's an exciting area, Jeff. I mean, just from a personal interest, and also if you look at the clinical data, you know, cocoflavanols are reasonably well studied in, you know, for brain function and mood and cognition. And actually, I didn't even reference before, Harvard's in the middle of a 20,000 patient study on cocoflavanols, of people consuming cocoflavanols for 600 milligrams a day for 5 years. And they're looking at a lot of cardiovascular and cognitive markers. So it's fairly well studied in those areas, and there's some data on skin, but the data on exercise performance, it's more of a theoretical benefit than a proven benefit. A lot of the earlier studies were done at levels that were very low, you know. So the latest data is showing that, you know, again, this 500 milligram plus range seems to be a sweet spot of sorts, you know, for the clinical benefits. But a lot of the earlier studies were using 100 milligrams per day, and they were also very short-term studies. Mm-hmm. So the benefits of cocoflavanols actually build on a daily basis. So there's a mechanistic buildup in your system. So if you have a little every day, the benefits actually, you know, it's like a step function, increase over time, and then sort of start to level off after about two to three weeks. So, you know, a good test in the exercise world, you know, would be something that's at least, you know, in the 2 to 4 week range, and probably looking at, you know, cocoflavanol levels of, you know, 500 milligrams or higher. And that there really hasn't been a lot of that done. There was a very interesting study done a couple years ago that was over 2 weeks with some well-trained cyclists. It did show some significant benefits, but more is needed. So that's a long way of answering that. You know, this is an area that, you know, we're excited about, and that, you know, we think maybe we can support some research and get some people involved with us. So we did a little observational study at Craftsbury Training Center this past summer with some high-end potential Olympian, you know, very high-end collegiate athletes that are rowers, Nordic skiers, and a few cyclists as well. And we're writing that, the result. It was just an observational study, but we're writing that up, and we're hoping to get that published soon. We're also working with the University of Pennsylvania. We've met with the athletic director there. They're very interested in doing a study of cocoflavanols with their varsity athletes. And so we've got another meeting actually next month to move that forward. And so we're looking at it, and we're looking at a few additional things as well on the study side. One thing of interest is about a month ago, we were contacted by Skylar Schneider, who is one of the top female cyclists in the world. And so she's from Wisconsin, and at the age of 19, she was signed by Bulls Dolmans, which is the top women's cycling team in the world. And so she's the youngest member on this team. She's also a member of the U.S. national cycling team, and definitely a high potential future Olympian. She contacted us and said, you know, she's been fascinated by the research on flavanols and our product and wanted to get involved. And so she's, we're actually starting to get involved with Skylar, and she's just a fantastic person and an amazing athlete. And now, she consumes her flavin mix in a smoothie before she works out every day, and she has a bar at night, with her tea, just to relax a little bit.
Alan, I really like it. The progress forward is going to come out of the investigation, the asking and the answering of questions. Do we know what we're going to find? I think we all have a pretty good idea, but I really, really am intrigued and happy that you guys are going through the process of investigating all this stuff, especially on the athlete side. To hear that Skylar's reached out and a few athletes, that's exciting as well. We'll watch this with great interest. But to provide a tool that people can use as they look for, options for a healthier, happier lifestyle, that's what this is all about. So I'm really, really excited today. Great, great conversation, Alan. The Flava bars, the Flava mix, again, my family's using them, and for that exact reason, we're just looking for better options, and they've been tremendous for us. So I wanted to thank you for that, and also wanted to thank you for your time today. Great, great discussion, and I look forward to having more of these discussions as we move forward, especially some of this research shed some light on the best ways to move forward here, Alan. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Great to talk to you today.
And there you go, a fantastic conversation talking about solutions. What can we do? You know, often on the show and on the War on Sugar, as we look back at all the episodes we had, we cover a lot of groundbreaking, cutting-edge research and data looking at the impact of sugar on our health in terms of diabetes, obesity, diseases, brain health. And the science is out there. We know what's going on, and we know what the culprit is. We looked at the issues of artificial sweeteners. We looked at hidden sugars, different names for sugars, added sugars, marketing to children. We've talked to some of the world's top experts in our War on Sugar series over the last few years. And today is no exception. I have to thank Alan Frost for coming on. And I want to thank Alan and his entire team for doing what they do. They saw a massive opportunity to try to do something good, and they're doing it. And it's been great to watch them grow, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how they move into the world of sport and sport performance, because it's very measurable. That's where the limelight is. So I think it's going to raise awareness of their platform for sure. But it's also great to talk about some solutions. What can we do? We, again, always talk about the issues. We talk about the research and the data, but rarely do we talk about what the options are. Well, here's a great option for you. And not only is it a great option, there are some serious health benefits when you start digging down deep. And that's why, of course, we bring it to you through the Crush Performance War on Sugar. So again, thanks to Alan Frost and everybody there over at Flava Naturals. Now, one of the key themes here in this discussion is just making good choices. And, you know, I think that's something that we've kind of been pushing all along when it comes to making dietary choices. But we have to be aware of what we're up against. You know, I coach my daughter's U17 soccer team. And of course, I'm always dropping hints on nutrition, and I'm dropping hints on exercises, especially for these girls in that age group. We know that they're at the highest risk for knee and ankle injuries. And this year so far in our indoor season, that's exactly what we're seeing. You can't just play the game and hope that you're going to be able to survive, especially at the level these girls play at. Now, listen, it's a community team, but these girls are serious. They love to play hard, and we're seeing those injuries. And a little bit of prevention goes a long way here, just like in our daily dietary choices. I was talking to the girls the other day about proper hydration, and I was asking them how much water they drink over the course of an average day. And I was alarmed. Even though we talk quite often about it, whether they're listening or not, we're constantly dropping hints, the coaching staff and I, dropping hints on, hey, make sure you drink enough water. Get up in the morning, start drinking water, drink water all day long, and you can't just show up and drink water and hope that you're going to be hydrated. And earlier this year, I was surprised we had the discussion on nutrition in one of our sort of preseason team meetings after the team was picked and the girls were all, you know, put on teams and we knew who was going to be on the roster. So we got together with the parents and we had a little preseason session and we talked about nutrition and exercise and getting ready for the season and making sure that we're doing what we can to reduce injuries and eat properly and hydrate properly. And one of the easiest things you can do as an athlete at any level is make sure you're hydrated. Majority of athletes we see, even in the professional level, they're not hydrated properly. And it's one of the simplest things you can do. One, to perform better. Two, to reduce risk of injuries. And it impacts everything you do. It'll impact you at school, your cognitive function, your memory. It will help you sleep better. It helps you metabolize fat better. Hydrating properly helps you in virtually every possible way when it comes to human performance. So the discussion turned around to what to drink. And, you know, we talked about the amount of sugars in the fruit juices and the tea drinks. And we also talked about energy drinks and the sport drinks and things just to watch out for. Just a classic conversation about sugar consumption and how much sugar do you really need. And the fact that water is probably the best option for a young athlete. And then we talked about how much you need to drink over the course of the day and that hydration is a 24-hour job. You can't just show up 2 hours before and hydrate. And I was amazed how many girls were taken back by that. They thought they could just show up at the game and, you know, start drinking on the way to the game and be hydrated. That's not how the human body works. So little conversations like that turn out to be really, really important, especially when it comes to developing athletes or competitive athletes. These little hints are important. So what do you need to do? What kind of choices do you need to make to help your performance? Well, your mom was 100% right. We've said it before and we're going to say it again right now. You are what you eat in the most literal of senses. What you put into that body is essentially what you get out of it. So it's really important to pay attention to simple things like daily feedings. How many times a day does an athlete need to consume food? Well, in our programs, this revolves around protein consumption. So despite your ratios of proteins, fats, or carbohydrates, everything revolves around the amount of protein you need to consume over the course of the day, because we know you can only consume so much protein in any one sitting. And that number is between 25 and 30 grams. Anything more, it doesn't matter if you're a 400-pound offensive lineman in professional football or a 95-pound gymnast. Your body can only assimilate so much protein in any one feeding. And that's why when we design our eating plans and our feeding plans for our athletes, it revolves around protein consumption. So regardless of what your ratios are, let's just say, for example, you have a diet that is consisting of 15% protein, 55% carbohydrates, and carbohydrates is another conversation to have because, again, it goes back to that conversation that a calorie is not a calorie. Well, your carbohydrate and the type of carbohydrate and the source of that carbohydrate is really, really important, especially when it comes to sport performance. And then fats, of course, has to be good fats. We all know about fats, but let's say 55% carbohydrates and 30% fats. Well, that 15% protein in that diet determines our feeding times. So let's say you're consuming 2,000 calories in a particular day and you have 15% of that 2,000 calories is protein. That's about 75 grams of protein over the course of the day. And if we know you can't consume more than 25 grams per feeding, then we know you have to consume food at least 3 times a day. Or let's say your daily caloric intake is 4,000 calories. And again, protein is 15% of that entire meal plan, you would need 150 grams of protein over the course of the day. If you break that into 30 gram servings, that's five meals a day, five feedings a day to make sure you get the right amount of protein. So we always build our diet plans around the protein, and then the protein selections are very important as well. But that just gives you an example of how we sort of break down our diet plans for our athletes. And most of our athletes are eating 5 to 6 times a day. Breakfast, without question, a snack, a lunch, a snack, a dinner, and then a snack before bedtime. Now, if they're consuming more calories than that diet plan calls for, then they have to eat more often. And feeding an athlete can be a full-time job. It is a big, big job when it gets down to it, especially when you start getting up 6 to 10,000 calories per day. And that's where supplements come into play. That's a conversation for another day, but it's very, very important that you pick safe supplements and the right supplements for what you're trying to accomplish. Just like everything else, you have to make sure you're picking the right tools. But one of the biggest mistakes we see at every single level of sport is hydration. Drink, drink, drink. We strive to never lose more than 2% of our body weight, because we know beyond that, we see drops in performance, we see increases in injury, slower decision making, slower recovery between pitches, between shifts, between innings, between quarters, between games, and between practices. And not only that, we know that students who hydrate properly actually score better on academic challenges. You learn better. So you'll learn better in your sport as well. So hydrate. It's one of the easiest things you could possibly do, but it has to happen from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed. You might be going to the bathroom a little more often. That's a small price to pay for the gains you make. So just some little tips there on performance eating for sure. And there's lots more where that came from, especially when we talk about pre-competition, post-competition eating. And we'll make sure that we cover that going into the new year here. All right, that's it for this episode of Crush Performance. Another war and sugar in the bank. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. We want to thank Alan Frost for joining us today. And coming up, we are getting set for our favorite time of the year. It's the gift for the athletes. So many great things on the market right now as technology moves forward. We've got a great lineup coming up as we start covering that. And of course, going into the new year, the war and sugar will continue. And we're going to spend a little more time in 2019 looking at athlete development from a holistic perspective. Look, we know that the goal of every program out there is to be good at your sport, whatever it might be. But trust me, if all you do is play the game, your ceiling is dropping every single day you step out there to practice or compete. You need to prepare for your sport and look for strategies to constantly push your ceiling up right now, but also a month down the road and years down the road. And there's strategies for doing exactly that. Unfortunately, we're not using them. At least I don't see them all that often. We're going to spend a lot of time in 2019 talking about exactly that, the holistic athlete, and how do we make athletes more coachable. Look, the idea behind the athlete development programs is to give the coaches a player that they can coach to the next level. Most coaches are really limited in what they can do with a player because of their athletic ability. So we're really, really looking forward to our 2019 campaign. But as we head into December, it's that time of year again, the Crush gift for the athlete. Again, so many great ideas out there this year, and technology has a lot to do with them. So we're really looking forward to the upcoming shows. All right, until then, everybody, get out there, get better, and we'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to ride.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Hey, everybody, do me a favor and welcome to Duffified Live, a guy that I've been dying to talk to. We're talking to Rob Lawless, and Rob owns a website and an Instagram page called Rob's 10K Friends. Rob's goal is to talk to 10,000 people for 1 hour at a shot. Rob Lawless on Duffified Live.
Are there some that really just truly stuck out more than others?
Yeah, definitely. And so I think it's a, I think I'm always touched by the stories that contrast what I know to be true. There's people like this woman, Roz, who I met, and off the bat, she was just an impressive woman because she was hosting this this man who was trying to get out of homelessness at the time. And he had had to go to Temple to get some type of medical treatment, and he needed a place to stay so that he didn't go straight back to the streets. And Roz, her son, was gone traveling, and so she just hosted this dude in her son's bedroom. So I met this dude, John, who was the homeless man. And then right after, I met Roz, and her story was just incredible. When she was 16 years old, her ex-boyfriend found out that she was dating a new guy, and so he tried to kill her, literally chasing her down the street, shooting at her. And he didn't end up killing her, but he did go around the corner and murdered her boyfriend. So this happened to her at 16 years old. And then when she was in her early 20s, her twin sister committed suicide. And then in 2012, her younger brother was murdered trying to protect his nephew. So all of this trauma happened to this one woman in her life. And for any of those three instances to happen to anyone would have been really difficult to overcome, but she overcame all of them. And now she's she runs an organization in Philly called Operation Save Our City. And she kind of is an advocate for the victims or the families of victims of homicide, to the point where sometimes she's knocking on doors saying, I know your son committed this murder, or I know your daughter committed this murder. You need to turn them in because it's the right thing to do.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.